from Formula One to MotoGP. This is your home for all of the fastest motorsports on the planet. This is Beyond the Visor. Welcome, welcome everyone to a brand new podcast. This is Beyond the Visor. I'm Michael Hernandez. Alongside me is Bobby Chaffardini, the sports director of WFEV Sports. Bobby, how are you?
Michael, I'm doing great. You killed it with that intro, and real excited to be on this podcast with you.
Yeah. So obviously this is the first episode of a brand new podcast. So I think a bunch of people are thinking, what is Beyond the Visor? So we decided that we just don't have enough podcasts on the station in general. So we decided that we would try out a motorsport one, because if any of you know me, I am a big F1 fan. And if any of you know Bobby, he is also a motorsport fan. Remind me, you're a big MotoGP guy on IndyCar, right?
IndyCar, NASCAR, F1. I mean, I absolutely love motor racing. I think all the time about the fact that racing is life and everything else is just pretty much details, right, Michael?
Could not have said it better myself. So basically, I think if you ask the both of us, if it has wheels, we're a big fan of the sport. Obviously, this is hopefully going to be a podcast that we can talk about all sports, all motorsports, excuse me, F1, IndyCar, NASCAR, MotoGP. But first, we're going to start off with the race that happened last week, which was the Bahrain Grand Prix, F1. And actually, before we get into that, we're going to go into preseason testing, because preseason testing was the weekend before at the same location in Bahrain. And obviously, with it being the season opener, a lot of things, you know, there are a lot of question marks going into the new season. You know, which teams will do well, which teams have got it wrong. And obviously, I think after looking at testing and even before testing, I think we all knew that the reigning Constructors' Championships and Driver Champion, Max Verstappen and Red Bull, that they were definitely going to be quick.
100%. I mean, and to watch them put together, I would say, this dominance the last couple of years coming into this season, and knowing that that car is better than the rest of the field.
Yeah.
I think if you are a Red Bull fan, if you're a Max Verstappen fan, and even Checo, you have to feel good coming into 23.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, last year was the new technical regulations. They changed completely the way that the cars looked. And last year, when you have 22 races and you win 17 of them, and with Verstappen winning 15 out of those, it means that you absolutely nailed the regulations. You got them down to a T. And actually, you mentioned that you were actually at the season launch for the Red Bull this year. How was that?
That was pretty awesome. I think it's cool to see that F1 is trying to branch out and be here in the United States. And when you can be able to be at an event that's in New York City, in Manhattan, and to see the RB19, even though I think it's pretty much the same exact car from last year. I know that Red Bull was getting some criticism for that. I mean, can you blame them, Michael? I mean, with the success that they have had.
If it ain't broke, don't
Max,
fix it.
Yeah, with Max and Checo and Christian Horner there leading the way. I mean, I would think that they would want to keep things the same.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, when you have a car that was that dominant, I mean, it was fast out of the blocks. Obviously, it had a couple of issues during last year's first couple of rounds, the double DNF in Bahrain, Verstappen having another engine failure in Australia. But, you know, once they patched over those issues, you know, when you win 17 races and set the season record for the most wins by a driver in a season with 15, it means that you did something right. I mean, obviously the calendar is bigger than previous years, but still, when you win 15 out of 22, it proves that not only did you get the car right, but you have an amazing driver as well. And you know, obviously, when you want to have an era of dominance like they did back in 2010 until 2013, you know, when they won four championships on the trot, you know, this kind of signals like, hey, we're back. Obviously, Mercedes had the crown from 2014 all the way until 2021, technically with the Constructors. Now, I think it's Red Bull's time to shine. But going into preseason testing, as we said, you know, the moment those cars went out in Bahrain for the 3 days of preseason testing, I think we could all agree, like, oh yeah, they were quick. But I think the biggest shock, I don't think anyone could have predicted this, was Aston Martin. I mean, if you take a look at the data, they were and are quick.
Yeah, I mean, and we saw that after the first weekend, right? It's pretty clear that they're going to be in the mix this year. I'm pretty sure most Ferrari fans are thinking to themselves, like, this has got to be our year, especially after all the disappointments last year.
Yeah.
But I think the beautiful thing about F1 is that, yeah, there's been a lot of rivalries, a lot of dynasties, and maybe times where it is that one team, that one driver, the one constructor. And maybe right now that's what we're in. We're in that Red Bull time. But I always feel that there's going to be at least one or two main challengers. And the question is going to be whether or not Mercedes can rebound. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear after this first weekend, though, that the car needs some upgrades. And Ferrari just can't seem to catch a break. And maybe some of that has to do with the fact that they, as a team collectively, haven't done as well. But, man, I mean, Fernando Alonso, 41 years old, giving the old guys something to cheer about. And, you know, you look at that team so far. Again, I know it's just one race weekend, but as you mentioned, they've looked pretty good at the outset. And that's all it takes, right? Like, I feel like, Michael, do you not feel this way when it comes to sports? Like, a lot of times it's about belief.
Yeah.
Right? Like the mojo and things are looking good and maybe a fresh vibe with the team like Alonso brings, championship pedigree.
A two-time champion, yeah. I mean, he is one of the greatest drivers. Obviously,
Some people say maybe he is the greatest. I don't know if that's true, but he's in that conversation.
He only has two championships, but if you give him like 8 points spread throughout his career, like he needs three to win in 2020. Like if you give him a couple of points, you know, in a couple of seasons, he's more than a two-time champ, but he is, yeah, a great driver. And obviously, Aston Martin heading into preseason testing, heading into this new season, obviously, you know, they took Alonso from Alpine. Last year, they were seventh on the grid, so, you know, kind of in the back of the field. They made headlines because with Stroll, he injured himself. They didn't really go into the specifics during testing. Everyone was casting doubt as to would he be fit to return for the season opener. You know, he's missed out on the preseason testing. How is he going to be able to drive that car with no testing? He's literally going to, you know, if he is good enough for
the
race. I like
him, too. Stroll? I really do. Yeah, I like him.
He's good, yeah. So obviously...
Personality-wise, I mean.
Yeah. He was able to race, but he was having some issues. But the fact that, you know, he didn't even have any practice with the car because of the injuries, he was able to finish sixth in the race, also with the podium for Alonso, puts Aston Martin second in the constructor standings, which shows that, you know, they really have made a huge, I mean, it cannot be understated, the massive gain that they had. But you mentioned Ferrari, and we're going to move to them now. I mean, every year... The Ferrari hype builds, and then...
Expectations.
I mean, when you are Ferrari, you are expected to do one thing only, win. Last year, it's like you said, last year, it could have been their year. They started off amazingly. But then Imola, you have Leclerc spinning, you have... That's when the Red Bull gets a 1-2.
He likes to crash that car a lot, right?
A little bit. Obviously, you have the engine issues in Spain last year, Azerbaijan last year, and then, like you mentioned, Leclerc crashed out in France, and, you know, very quickly there, what seemed to be the fastest car, it was clear yet that they were no match for the Red Bull. They've changed the team manager, the team principal. It is now Frédéric Vasseur from Alfa Romeo. Mattia Binotto has left. I mean...
I felt like they lost confidence. Like I said before about belief, they lost confidence midway through, and they never recovered.
Yeah.
And now I'm not sure if coming into the season they're going to be able to kind of flip the switch and be what they expect to be, but they do have really two very, very talented drivers.
They do, yeah.
Carlos Sainz, too, is not a guy that you should sleep on. I think that's
a
driver that could be a world champion
that
one day.
He could be, as well as Leclerc. I mean, Red Bull and Ferrari and Mercedes, all three of them have, you know, drivers that can and have already won world championships. So, you know, they are really the best drivers that there are. But obviously in the race, Ferrari, you have Leclerc in third. And then obviously you have the reliability. You know, I mean, it's not good when in your first race. And don't forget, before the race, they actually changed a couple of parts of Leclerc's car, and those parts failed during the race. So now
they like to make it hard for him.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, if he takes another CE unit, which I think is the control electronics, he's going to get a 10-place grid penalty because of the allocations for the engine. So it's not good when you're not even into the second race because it's not for another week. And if you take another of that component, you're going to get a grid penalty because obviously that makes your attempt to win that race all the more difficult. Because even if you get pole, you're going to start 11th, and that has a huge, huge impact on the race strategy and how you attack that race. But one other team, as we mentioned, I'd like to say that there are, before Bahrain, we had the top three teams, Red Bull, Ferrari and Mercedes. Like you mentioned, Mercedes last year clearly got the car wrong. You know, they, for a team that won 8 constructor championships in a row from 2014 all the way until 2021, you know, they tried to go for a radical design on the car, and obviously, I mean, as we all know now, they did not get it as well as they did in the previous regulations.
Yeah, but, I mean, Lewis Hamilton has already said that the car needs correction.
He did say that.
Toto
yeah.
Wolff, too.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting to see. They finished. So obviously, none of them were on the podium, unfortunately. But if you take a look, I believe, I want to say that Hamilton finished 5th and then Russell was 7th. So, you know, 5 and 7.
Two top 10 finishes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you're Mercedes and you've had, you know, when you've had that level of domination, when you finish 5th and 7th, you clearly, you know, there is work to
again,
do.
Again, expectation there, too.
And it's like
yeah,
you
100%.
Said, Hamilton did mention, hey, you know, I tried to give some input about this year's car, and apparently they didn't take the advice. But it's going to be very interesting because Hamilton's out of contract this year.
And what does he know, too? Like, right? 7-time champion. What does he know about cars? I don't know.
I think he only knows how to press a pedal. I think that's it.
I mean, to me, he's the greatest of all time. We talk about Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, right there at the top too.
I do agree. He is up there in terms of the Mount Olympus of F1 drivers. But I mean, honestly, you know, what one race down? It's like you said, we have a long, long season. This is the longest season in history with 23 races, if I'm not mistaken. The race finish for Bahrain, I'm just going to go through it now, was Verstappen first, Perez second for Red Bull 1-2. Like we said, Alonso in third for Alpine, that's last year, Aston Martin. Sainz in the other Ferrari finished fourth, Hamilton fifth, Stroll, Alonso's teammate in sixth, Russell in seventh, Valtteri Bottas of Alfa Romeo in eighth. Yeah, great driver. Pierre Gasly from Alpine in ninth. Alexander Albon in the Williams in 10th. Shout out to him because, you know, that Williams has been pretty
not bad.
Slow. Yeah.
11th, and rooting for Logan Sargeant this year, American.
11th, Yuki Tsunoda in the AlphaTauri. 12th, like we just mentioned, Logan Sargeant for his first race.
A pretty
good result. You know, he didn't crash the car. Remember in 2021, Nikita Mazepin's first race lasted 3 corners.
Star of Drive to Survive.
He really is. Kevin Magnussen in the Haas in 13th. Nick De Vries in the other AlphaTauri in 14th. Nico Hülkenberg in the other Haas in 15th. Zhou Guan Yu in the other Alfa Romeo in 16th. And then Lando Norris in 17th in the McLaren. And then we had three.
Crazy how they've fallen down.
Yep. We had 3 retirements, which were the Ferrari of Leclerc, the Alpine of Esteban Ocon, and then the other McLaren of Oscar Piastri. And like you mentioned, McLaren have been in a bit of a slump. I mean, last year they had a pretty poor testing. They had an okay year. They were able to get to 5th. But this year, I mean
that's a team that was like
not looking good.
Legitimately, I think 4th at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say the 4th best team.
I'd say 2021, 4th easily on paper. And you know, they were actually, Lando Norris, I think last year was the only non.
And battling for 3rd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they were making good strides, but I guess last year they got caught out. And this year, if you took a look at the race, Norris had to pit like every couple of laps to top up, I think, a pressure in the brakes. So it's not good when you're, you know, making 6 pit stops, you know. It rarely ends well unless if you're Jenson Button in 2011 in Canada when he did that insane race. But clearly McLaren have got it slightly wrong. That was basically the race result. Obviously, like we said, you know, there's only one race down, 22 more to go. But I'm assuming that you saw the race. What was your standout moment or something that you think is an indicator for the rest of the season?
That's a great question. Well, I mean,
don't take a basic answer like, oh, Red Bull's going to win every race. That's
so, no, easy. I don't think so. I think this might actually be the first season that Verstappen is challenged in the last couple of years. I really do.
By who?
And if I had to pick a driver right now, and I'm not just because we kind of opened with this conversation, but I think Fernando Alonso could very well win one more championship before his career is over.
Wow.
And that's someone that has been a fan, of course, for a long time, so maybe a bit biased, because I do think he's one of the greatest drivers of all time. Mm-hmm. But also from being around him a little bit and covering him as in his failed attempts for the Indy 500, believe it or not, because he's a driver that has been trying to go for that Triple Crown.
Yeah, which is the Monaco Grand Prix, Le Mans, and
Le Mans, yes.
So,
and F1.
And which one is he missing? Just the Indy?
Or? He's just missing that Indy 500. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's a very tough race to win, and maybe at some point he will circle back to it. I think his eyes are set on winning one more F1 championship, which it should be, because I think many people would agree with this, that, you know, F1 is the pinnacle. So if you're Fernando Alonso and you've had this great career, if you can win one more championship or maybe even more than that, I think it's realistic to think that this could be his final, you know, final real legitimate shot at winning one. But I think he, at the moment, poses the biggest threat to Max Verstappen and to Red Bull.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, if you remember in 2012, he went back when he was at Ferrari. That Ferrari was not good. It was really like it was one of Ferrari's off years, and Alonso brought it to within 3 points. Like the fact that the Red Bull was very good, and yet Alonso was able to outperform.
Even all the drivers on the grid have said that he's just that good of a driver.
Yeah,
and I know you're
really
a believer because you got him on your fantasy team.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I got him.
I know
on
you're
my
buying what
team.
I'm saying
I
here,
think,
Michael.
Oh, actually, I'm going to check how many points he got, because he did a, you know,
thank God
he
podiumed.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he might have benefited a bit at the end there to get
the
in that
Leclerc
spot.
Retirement. Yeah,
yeah.
But still, I mean, I'm not sure if you saw the move on Hamilton going into that tricky.
Oh, I did.
Into that left turn. I mean, that's
and that
not
rivalry
a place
might be something that we see, too.
I don't think so, because I think that Aston Martin is way faster than the Mercedes. I think Hamilton also
helps them.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be some races where Hamilton will make the Mercedes finish higher than it should.
As all great drivers do. But that move was absolutely, I mean, it looks like he's going to go around the outside and then he just cuts inside in that tricky, I think it's turn 9 or 8. It's a place where not many overtakes are done, and he made it look easy. And I'm like, wow, like, you know, I think that was a statement from Aston Martin saying, hey, yeah, last year we were 7th. This year we are clearly, you know, they've made the biggest strides, and now they're, you know, they're, I think we can actually see them fighting legitimately for podiums and even the odd race win. I
think that'll happen. I really do.
What,
I think
Alonso winning?
That he'll definitely win at least.
I would love to see him win a race, but I think for that to happen, I think he might need Ferrari to have one of their Ferrari days, because I still think the Ferrari is slightly ahead of them on pace. Like if you ask me what the top, like what the order is, I'd say Red Bull easy, you know, class the field. Ferrari 2, Aston Martin 3, Mercedes 4. And the only reason
maybe distant fourth for Mercedes.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm saying that is because I think Mercedes should have abandoned their concept, and it's clear that they haven't. Yes, they fixed the porpoising issues that they had last year. They were bouncing up and down like it was mad, but this time they've eliminated the bouncing. But it's clear that maybe it's time to give it up and actually, you know, spend your money. And remember, we have a cost cap, so they can't spend millions of dollars, you know, without consequence, and try to fix that car. But I think, you know, the Aston Martin of Alonso, you know, will be very, very good. I'm trying to see how many points I have while I talk, but it's not showing me. Oh, sorry, 276 points.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Verstappen got me 70. Russell 16, Alonso 39. I should have times two. I use that on Verstappen. He only gave me
turbo 70. Driver.
Turbo, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, and I also have Red Bull and Aston Martin in my team. I don't know why they made Aston Martin so cheap, but that is an easy decision to put those two teams, especially after preseason testing.
Yeah, see, I dropped the ball this year because I've won back to back F1 titles with my collective friends here, and I was so busy I didn't have a chance to kind of re-up, and we also talked about being an elite together, so
yeah.
Maybe we should do one, but start
we
from
should
a later
do one,
point.
We should do
we
one of the
off
of the entire station. We need to get the entire station in it.
Well, I mean, that's a big point of this podcast, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to get people to have the same love affair
affection
with motor racing. Yeah. And, you know, Michael, you and I have talked about this, and I really do prescribe
this. This has been in, like, the talks for, like, a year. At first, you know, it was, like, you know, one of the issues that and I think it's kind of true, is that, you know, I'm a senior. What happens when I graduate? What happens to this podcast? But we decided,
let's go with it.
Let's send it, you know.
Absolutely.
As the drivers do. But yeah, so going back to the race.
Like Ricardo says, sometimes you just got to lick that stamp.
And send it. Yep. I mean, it's a shame he's not on the grid anymore.
Well, he kind of is, in spirit, selling merchandise.
For Red Bull. Yeah, it's kind of ironic how he's the one who started all that second seat drama.
I love him too, man. His personality is fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
But one other team I want to shout out, and we mentioned it earlier, Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Williams has been back of the grid for years, and, you know, they've tried to make some moves, but... You know, Albon.
Don't sleep
10th.
On Logan, man. Don't sleep on
him. Oh, no, I'm not doing that at all. Like, honestly, I think Logan will do great. I mean, his first race, if you saw his opening lap, he made up a good number of positions. And it's his first time in a proper F1 race. Obviously, testing, but, like, you know, nothing.
And he's been in the lower levels.
Yeah, F2, but nothing can prepare you for
F1
when the lights go out and Crofty says, oh, lights out and away we go. But for him to finish 12th, you know, is pretty good. And he's a rookie. He's going to have 3 home races because, if you may not know, to our listeners, we have 3 races in the U.S. for F1. The first
time ever.
Yeah, well, yeah, in a season we have Miami. Then it's the Circuit of the Americas in Texas. Dallas? No, Austin. Sorry,
Austin, Texas.
What am I saying?
And then, Coda.
Yep, and then the brand new racetrack. Well, I'm not even sure I can call it a racetrack. It's a street circuit in Las Vegas. They're going to be racing down the strip.
Unbelievable.
That is going to be a very, very, very interesting race because we've never raced in that circuit. We've raced in Vegas before, Caesar's Palace. Mm-hmm. I think last one was 84.
Yeah, a long time ago.
A bit before my time. But, you know, it's good to see that. And you mentioned this earlier, F1 is starting to grow in the U.S. I mean, you know, I was a bit of an F1 fan. I used to go to the Canadian Grand Prix. I still do go to the Canadian Grand Prix. Shout out to my dad for getting me into that. But, you know, I kind of fell out. I would still go. But what got me back into it, and you mentioned that Drive to Survive on Netflix.
Which has gotten a lot of people into it.
It has, yeah. I mean, because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, they do over, you know, dramatize certain incidents, and they also play radios at the wrong time. Like, because I know when I've seen the races live, so when I see a clip, I'm like, yeah, that's not from there. You've cut that from another
movie
race.
Movie magic.
Exactly. You know, nice little editing tricks. But, you know, it does give fans and new viewers a glimpse into, you know, the sport. I mean, because I don't think before Drive to Survive you'd see this much behind the scene access. I mean, like, it's real, and it's given a lot of... you know, people some credibility. For example, Steiner from Haas, you know, he's now a rock star, as he loves to put it. You know, he's now popular because of it, you know.
Well, it did benefit a bit from the pandemic and people being home and streaming and that content.
Yeah, I mean.
But it was always a great show. People just had to find it.
It dropped its 5th season before the start of the, which previews. So it previews the season prior. So the first season in 2019 covered 2018. Season 2 in 2020 covered 2019 and so on and so on. They just released the 5th season a couple of weeks ago. I highly recommend that you watch it because
it's awesome.
It really is a great show. But enough about all that. We've covered Bahrain, I think, to a pretty good extent. Mm-hmm. I think we all know the drivers to look out for. So we're going to do a bit of a preview for the next race, which is
great.
In Jeddah. It's a new track, first introduced in 2021, where Hamilton won. And then Verstappen won last year. So it's going to be very, very...
Not surprising, by the way.
What?
That those two drivers have won the last two races.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in 2021, you had, you know, Red Bull and Mercedes, you know, they were the top of the field. Red Bull were the challengers instead of the reigning champions. And then last year, Verstappen was able to get his first win after bouncing back from the double Bahrain DNF. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not this weekend, it's the weekend after. What's your take on the circuit? Any bold predictions you want to throw out?
I don't know if we'll have bold predictions for this race. I don't think Alonso's going to win this time. It would not shock me to see.
Imagine if he wins in Spain.
Yeah, I could see that. I actually could see that happening.
That's true.
I really could. I could see him performing well there, of course, with the home crowd. You know, it would not surprise me, of course, to see Verstappen and Red Bull at the top again. I guess I am rooting and hoping that there's going to be some more drama and to see some of the other teams compete. I, you know, personally am a Ferrari fan, and I'm hoping...
So you are in Spain without the S?
Yeah.
You are in pain. Okay.
I'm in some pain right now. you know, I think it's also interesting, too, Michael, and this maybe takes us to some future conversation, but I really do believe... that if Ferrari does not get things together this season, that you will see changes down the road.
You mean like
them.
Driver changes?
Yeah,
or?
Maybe. You know, I know that they have really committed themselves.
I mean, don't forget, Leclerc is in a long-term contract.
Of, yeah. And I'm not really sure what direction they could go anyway, right? Like, I think in the past, we've always discussed the possibility that you could see someone like Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari.
I've heard, because don't forget, Hamilton is out of contract this year, and if Mercedes aren't giving him the car, you know, he is a seven-time champion of the world.
That's a guy that they would want. I mean, not just because of name recognition, but maybe potentially giving him a better car if Mercedes can't give him the car that he probably deserves, especially being seven-time champion.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone like maybe Lewis does go there, maybe he's the perfect guy to pair with Leclerc
and finally push him. With Leclerc.
Maybe. Ooh. Or vice versa. Because I really do. I've been a big fan of Sainz for a long time.
I think first of all, where would Leclerc go? Red Bull? And they drop Perez?
I mean, they could, because I wonder to myself how long Checo is going to play second fiddle. I just don't, where does he go?
Well, I mean, don't forget, he was out of contract last year, but then he won Monaco, and he was able to swing that into a multi-year contract.
And make
contract.
No mistake, he's a fantastic
driver.
Oh,
he is.
Too.
I mean,
after Verstappen, I think he is the second-best driver on the grid right now.
What he did for Verstappen in 2021, how he held up Hamilton to, you know, close the gap, and, you know, we're not going to get into how that ended, because that is... That could take an episode all by itself. How, you know, what he did, and then I believe he's under contract until 2024. I mean, he is no spring chicken. He is up there in age.
Yeah.
I think he's 30. Actually, I don't know how old he is, but he is pretty old. He's been in the sport.
He's
since,
a veteran, we'll say.
He's been, what, since 2011?
I think, too, when we start talking about where the drivers rank, like
33,
I know some
by the
of,
way.
33.
I thought it was a lot
some
older,
of our
actually.
Fans are probably new to the sport or just digesting some of the things that we're saying, but. You know, to me, a lot of it, when you are ranking the drivers, you are taking into consideration a lot of different factors. Like, you've already heard us speak about how great Alonso is or how great Hamilton is, but some of it does have to do with the driver technology and the car that they have. So, you know, Checo benefits from the fact that right now that RB19 and the Red Bull has been the top car.
It's been pretty good. Actually, so you mentioned this. Imagine this happened this year. Alonso is at Aston Martin with Vettel. Vettel doesn't retire. Imagine those two in that car. Like, that would have
and
been
Vettel
amazing.
And Vettel was also
it's
know,
a
one
shame
of the greatest
about
drivers.
Yeah. He unfortunately retired, but so did Alonso back in 2018. Mm-hmm. So maybe in 2 years we'll see Vettel back. Because Vettel is younger. He's like, what, 35, I think?
Now, he'll be the new team principal at Ferrari.
I think so.
At some point. They'll have Vettel as kind of like the GM there.
Vettel's 35 and Alonso's 41.
Crazy,
so,
crazy.
You know, the fact that we're talking about Alonso at such a high level at 41, it's like you said, it's a testament to, you know, it doesn't matter what car you put him in, he will extract the best out of that car. But a little bit, talking about, you know, the next race is in 2 weeks. I don't think we're going to have an episode next week because it's spring break and... There's really not much going on in the F1.
Maybe.
Unless we could
take a break. I mean, we do the one big show and then we just, you know, drop the mic and that's it.
Exactly. You know, it's a nice little one and done. But a little bit of information about the Saudi Arabia. It's the Jeddah Corniche circuit. Like I said, the first Grand Prix was in 2021. There is 50 laps. It is, the circuit is a length of 6.174 kilometers because they're that specific. The race distance is 308.45 kilometers, and the lap record is a 1 minute 30.734 set by...
I'm going to say Hamilton.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton in 2021. So that is the fastest lap ever. Mm-hmm. But then again, it was built 2 years ago. So
he was my star on my fantasy team that year. So
well, yeah, 2021, I mean, that was a pretty good one. And to give you a bit of a description to the viewers, the Jeddah Corniche circuit is a very fast track, but it's very, like, there are a lot of corners. There are 27 corners in total, and some of them are on straight. So it's going to be very, very technical track, but also a very power-focused track. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. You know, obviously, I do agree with you that, you know, I don't think Alonso's going to win this one. I do think he will win one. I mean, it'll be a shame if he doesn't, because we would all love to see El Plan in motion. But I do think...
Do you think he podiums for this one?
Ooh. I mean...
Give me your podium for this.
Oh, okay. So before I answer that...
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, so
first
before
podcast.
I answer that, I'm going to say for Bahrain, you know, the preseason testing was at the same location, so we knew that the Aston Martin was going to be quick. Only time will tell to see if that is, you know, maybe that track fit the characteristics perfectly. I'm going to say, I don't want to say a Red Bull 1-2 because I want there to be some action. I mean, in Bahrain, they literally told the drivers, slow down. Let's, you know, like Verstappen was miles ahead. Perez was way behind, but still miles ahead of third place. So they were like, hey, you can cool the engine, target a 137.0 or something. Like, you know, slow down, save the engine. We're going to be fine because there was no race at that point because that's how far ahead they were. Like, I saw reports of, like, if they had actually, you know, gone full, you know, absolutely all out, they would have been a second faster. Like, that is insane.
That car, like I said.
It's a rocket ship.
It is a rocket ship.
But so since I've been put on the spot, I'm going to say Verstappen winning because
that's what I have to.
That's an easy thing to say. I'm going to say Leclerc on the podium.
Okay, I said the same thing in my mind. God.
Yeah. Wait. So you have Leclerc second then?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I have that 1-2 combination there.
So then, I don't want to say the same. I don't even know what your third is, but I want to see if I can guess it. I'm going to say Perez.
Really? I actually have Lewis. I have Lewis third.
Oh, you have Lewis.
I'm going to go Hamilton.
So you're saying three different teams?
Yeah,
why not? When's the last time that's happened?
I don't know.
It's been a while, because last year.
I think Lewis has performed well there, as we already discussed.
Yeah.
And, you know, top five finish already in the first race, so why not?
Well, that's kind of expected for someone of him and of
and maybe
the
they'll
stature.
Make some adjustments with this little break here.
Yeah,
coming into race number two.
I don't think they'll get that many upgrades. I think there'll be a big package for like Spain or something. I feel like Spain's usually the track when they bring everything. But yeah, I think it'll be another Red Bull win. Leclerc in second, a distant second, because I just don't see them being, you know, that close. I think, you know, Verstappen will be told, hey, cool the engine again. Let's slow down. You know, there's no point in you know, burning the engine. Let's save it.
Yeah, they have the best equipment right now, and they have the best driver.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's happened.
It's happened before, and we're probably going to see it again after this year. But I'm going to say Verstappen first, Leclerc second, and I'm going to go for Perez third. I disagree with Hamilton. If you said Sainz, I could be like, I can see that as well.
Okay.
But I think Perez, it's the Red Bull. And Checo was a very good driver. Mm-hmm. He's very good on the tires.
He is very good.
So it's going to be very, very, very interesting.
That's why I wonder, too, with his future, if he decides, you know, maybe to go somewhere else
Checo?
At some point. Yeah.
No.
I just think with that stuff, we've already discussed it a bit so far today.
The question is,
not a lot
who
of
would take him?
Movement.
Well, yeah, because we're not in the silly season yet. Wait until the silly season starts.
20 drivers, 20 spots.
Yeah. But I could see a couple of cars that would want to take him, but why would he want to leave? Because if the Red Bull was slow, I'd understand completely.
You know, it might not be easy to be Robin anymore to Batman. You know, that might be what it is.
Clever. I mean, I don't see
He wants him. To be Nightwing. I don't know if I'm taking us off the F1 conversation here, but you know what I'm saying?
I see our producer Ralph in the back smiling, so I'm assuming that was a correct interpretation of that.
Nightwing is great.
I have no idea what you said, Ralph. So I'm assuming that was correct.
We're just trying to be diverse here and mix it up with our comic book fans out there.
Nice. But yeah, so I mean, honestly, I think this was a great first episode.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know how long it's been, but we've definitely had a good chat, I think, 30-40 minutes?
I would say.
But yeah,
I think that's how we should close it. That sense of wanting to educate the fans on a sport that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, I feel like, Michael, I'm pretty sure you would agree because we're like-minded in this way, but motor racing and especially Formula One, but for me, open wheel racing, Formula One and IndyCar, I've said this many times, I might shock people by saying this as someone that's been a longtime reporter and pretty much covered the top of all of the major sports, especially here in this country, we'll say the four major sports in the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, and the NHL, as someone that's been there for Stanley Cup, World Series, Super Bowl, NBA Finals.
Jesus.
I'm flexing here. I say this all the time when people legitimately ask me, there is nothing like motor racing.
You know what?
Nothing. Nothing like it.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
And when people have asked me if I could only, let's say, go to one major event for the rest of eternity, to me, I haven't been to every F1 race, but it would have to be one of the open wheel races. So it's going to be an F1 race or... I think in my mind, the dream scenario would be an F1 race at Indy, at Indianapolis, like it used to be.
Well, there was one, but we're
you know,
the
but,
whole reason, yeah.
But I happen to like COTA very much. But, you know, for me, again, you know, IndyCar 2 is at the top, and, you know, you see a lot of the great F1 drivers having success in IndyCar.
Grosjean.
You know, Grosjean, or even in the first race this past weekend as well with Marcus Ericsson.
Yeah, Ericsson as
winning,
well.
Winning, another former Formula One driver who won the Indy 500 last year.
I remember that, yeah.
So, you know, to me, motor racing is something that you have to just give it a chance. You know, like, I think that's what's happened with Drive to Survive. People sit down, they give it an opportunity to kind of learn a little bit about it.
I think that's the whole point for this podcast as well.
100%.
Just give us a chance,
guys.
Just give us a chance, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy it.
We'll show you how great it is, because it is such a marvelous sport to be part of.
I could not have said that better myself. But I think that's going to do it for this first episode of Beyond the Visor. A big shout out to Ralph as our producer, who we literally kind of
dragged him in.
He showed up and we're like, hey, can you produce for us? Also, a big thanks for Bobby for helping me out here. And yeah, I'm Michael
Hernandez.
Awesome job, man. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Have a good one.